Hello, everybody. For those of you who have been joining us, you may know that my name is Amanda. I'm the Director of Communications here at Matcha Resident, and I'm very excited to be doing another success story today. We have a great guest, and I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lisa Persaud. I am a USIMG from Florida. I do have a background in nursing, which is a fun fact about me, which kind of showed the career change that I went through during this entire process that I can't wait to share with you all.
Amazing. So I know now people of the 2024 season is starting to ramp up. We were just talking a little bit about how you have some PTSD maybe from last year because it was a lot to do. So when you started, I don't know when you decided you wanted to come to the US for residency, but how did you kind of get that process together? How did you figure out all that information and organize it to it was manageable for you to do?
So the application process for me started pretty much in May of that same year that I was going to start the application opens in September. So May of that year, I began researching everything, basically how to apply, you know, being a USIMG, you know, ECFMG certifications, all of that stuff, you know, a lot of YouTube videos. I would have to say that's probably the best advice I would give anyone is, you know, gathering information from your peers is definitely the best resource possible, especially people who've already been through it. So, and I'm at a place now where I can now share my experience to be able to help other people that are going to be going through this process. But a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of reading, and definitely looking at success stories for sure, because everyone has a different journey. Everyone comes from different places. So being USIMG versus non-USIMG, unfortunately, I don't know anything about the non-USIMG process because I know it's a little bit different with the visas. So I didn't have to go through that, but I did go through the process of the ECFMG certification as well. So starting early was definitely the biggest thing for me.
Okay. And were you working on your USMLE at that time? Had you already done your step one or?
So at this time, I took around May, I was actually studying for step two. So I took step two in July. So I had my scores come back in time for the application process. So I know that you can technically apply without your scores and that didn't really fault you to an extent. But I had my scores for my application, which was kind of the goal. But like I said, I kind of planned out everything. Like as soon as I took step one after my first 2 years, I planned out everything accordingly to the application process. So technically I had started a year before trying to map everything out. So starting early was definitely the best thing possible to do.
Okay, great. So you got your ECFMG certification, you're working on your step two. And for those of you that don't know why it's good to have your step two, since they've changed step one to just pass fail, it doesn't exactly help you stand out as much anymore. So having that step score can really help them see like, okay, they did well on this and see where you are performance wise. But don't rush it. Only do it if you're ready. But it is helpful, like she said, to have it in time for applications.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you've done that now. You started applications. So how did you figure out what programs you wanted to apply to? How did you decide on your specialty?
So a little bit knowledge about my past history. I was an ER nurse before medical school. So I already had the experience in the specialty that I wanted to get into. So that helped me out a lot. So I kind of went into medical school already knowing, okay, hey, I want to be an ER doctor. I kind of want to stick on the ER track. So I had started researching programs earlier ahead. So the programs that I looked at definitely were based off of geographical location. I definitely wanted to stay closer to home. So particularly like in the Southeast US. So that kind of helped me narrow down the programs that I wanted to look at. And then definitely the types of programs that there were, like, you know, what did the hospital offer? Were they a level one trauma center? Were they a STEMI center? Were they a stroke center? And then of course, looking at their fellowships, what options did they have for fellowships there? And I feel like a lot of my research was based off of all of that information.
Okay. So you kind of had already, you knew what you kind of wanted to do, where you wanted to see yourself going, and you made your picks around that.
Right. Right.
I like that. So it's, for you, it wasn't so much as like, you weren't just kind of like applying to 100 programs to apply to 100 programs. You said,
right.
I know what I want and I want to apply to these specific programs.
Right.
Okay, great. So you did that through. How was interview season for you? Did you prep? Did you use a prep service? Were you nervous? How are you feeling?
I was 100% nervous, of course. And I think it was healthy to be nervous for sure. You don't want to be 100% comfortable or confident because you can bomb interviews that way. So having a healthy nervousness to you is definitely great. But interview season, for the most part, I feel like that was my favorite part about the process, because I feel like aside from having everything on paper, you know, if you get an interview, you're already qualified. You know, you're qualified on paper already. This is your opportunity to shine and show them who you are as a person and why you deserve this spot. So that was probably my favorite part, is talking to everyone, meeting the different program directors, and pretty much weighing my options and seeing where I fit the best. You know, whether my personality, you know, would fit in with this program. And then of course, just talking to other residents that were already in the program too. I went to a lot of meet and greets. That was something else that I had also done prior to interviews. That kind of gave me a better sense of the program and what they expected of me. And that kind of gauged me whether or not, hey, and would I be a good fit for this program? Because at the same time too, you're also interviewing the programs. Yeah. So I feel like a lot of people forget that we are also interviewing them, because we do want to be at a place that we want to, you know, would like to be at, because we are there for 3 years to train. So,
yeah. So with the programs, I know you said you kind of had already had a pass with ER, you were an ER nurse. So right. Was that like something you kind of like highlighted? I'm assuming I meant to ask this before. You probably got letters of recommendation, I'm assuming, maybe from some of the doctors you'd worked with in the past.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah. Awesome. So I'm assuming that was a great point of reference for you. I've done this before. I understand how this works and I know I'm up to the task. Was that like, did you kind of use that strategy at all going in, or?
Oh, absolutely. I reached out to a couple of the doctors I had worked with. Two of them actually wrote my letters of recommendation for me, which was great. And I feel like when I told them kind of what I wanted to get into, they were kind of like, they weren't surprised that I was going into ER, you know, they were just like, of course you are. So I feel like with those letter of recommendations, they kind of explained the whole aspect of me already having the experience of patient care. So that highlighted that aspect of my my personal statement for me. I didn't have to talk too much about my nursing degree or my nursing aspect or experience, just because it was listed in the letters of recommendation. I figured that would cover their bases. So that left me more chances and opportunities to talk about other things in my personal statement. So that would be more of like my story, where I come from, my family, things like that.
Okay. And why it was important for you to become a doctor, I'm assuming. Like, why?
Exactly. You're
a doctor. Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. I love that. So you got, you're going through interview season. Did some of them go a little bit better than others? Maybe you felt more comfortable with some people, different programs?
Yes, absolutely. So in the beginning, like, you know, you're always nervous before every interview. It doesn't matter like how comfortable, like I said, that you are. But I definitely feel like there were just some programs where you're like, I can see myself working here. And then there were other programs where you're like, this is a great program, but I don't really see myself, you know, being a part of this team for XYZ reasons, whether they just didn't offer something that you wanted or it was the location. It really did come down to personalities, you know, being able to easily talk to people, being understood. And then my number one thing was definitely looking for support within a program. You know, how well does the program support their residents and their incoming residents? So, because intern year is a big learning curve. So I definitely wanted to have a big sense of support from the program that I'm going to be in, just for that reason alone.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense to me. So taking that forward, that's kind of how you made your rank order list. You kind of had known what you were looking for in each program. So did you pick it once and you stuck to your list, or did you kind of move it around a couple times?
So my list, I actually, as soon as it opened, like the rank list opened, I did it within like the first hour. And then I didn't touch it for like the entire next couple of weeks. And then an hour before it was due, I changed it because I just had this moment of just like, wait a minute, I need to just relook this over, because it was just the panic took over me. And I'm like, okay, this is my list. Like, I haven't looked at it since I did it. Should I relook at it? So an hour before it was due, I went ahead and relooked at it. And then I actually, the only thing I really changed were my first two choices. I switched them. So instead of like the first one, I put it as my second choice, because I was back and forth on those two a lot. And it was just a gut feeling. I was just like, you know what, if I'm questioning this, I should probably just change it. The fact that I'm even questioning the first choice, so that I initially had, I should just change it. And that's exactly what I did. And I was super happy with the decision that I had made.
Yeah. I love that. I love to hear that. I heard that actually too from somebody else I interviewed, Carla. She said the same thing, that she had it set and then she literally decided right before that she was going to change it. And then she ended up matching into the one that she changed it for, like, above.
So yeah.
I thought that was funny. I was like, you just know, like when it starts to come to that time, you're like, wait, actually maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
and then you figured out that you've matched. I'm assuming you've probably learned a bit about yourself. Like, it takes a lot to go through the residency process. It's draining. It's stressful. It takes a lot of organization. It takes a lot of willpower to keep going when you don't really want to keep going and staying positive. How are you taking that forward with you now in a residency? Like, now that it's maybe changed you a little bit.
So this entire process, the one thing that it's taught me for sure is that you can do a lot on your own. When it, aside from just the book work and all the work that you put in, like I kind of mentioned about just the interview season, how it's your opportunity to shine. Any opportunity that you get to talk to anyone, you can make an impression. So that's one thing that I feel like I've taken away from this entire process is my ability to make an impression on someone. So whether it's talking to them for 15 minutes, because that's really the only the amount of time that you get to really make an impression is about 10, 15 minutes. Yeah. So, and then some, I actually had one program, which were only, it was only like 7 minutes. So it felt very rushed. I didn't like, you know, it was one of those programs where I feel like I didn't really do well on the interview just because I felt like I was talking really fast and, you know, I was already nervous and I was trying to get as much as I possibly could get into that little, you know, 7 minute time span, but definitely, you know, taking away the ability to make an impression on, you know, your above or your residents and all the different types of things. So
that's been a theme too. I've heard a lot. Just ask for help, ask people, reach out, try and make those connections. Cause the worst thing that could happen is they say no. So you might as well put yourself out there.
Absolutely.
So what else, like, since we're wrapping up now, anything else that you would want to add in, like advice you would give to, I know you said you don't know as much about the non-US IMG process,
right?
Maybe a USIMG in your shoes who is struggling a little bit with this process or feeling kind of weighted down, what would you tell them?
So for sure, the first piece of advice I would give is, of course, start early. That's the number one thing I definitely feel like everyone should do is start as early as you possibly can. Even if you feel like you're too late, just start, you know? So even if it's like a year before, 5 months before, or even like a month before, just go ahead and start. If you get feeling discouraged, don't give up. I feel like that's another advice I hear a lot too, is just don't take no for an answer. Don't let people bring you down because it's going to happen. There's this stigma with IMGs. We don't, you know, and it's a known thing. It's not a secret. So yeah. I feel like just not giving up really does show your resilience through this entire process, because like you were saying, it's a lot of willpower. So not giving up, continue going on. And then of course, reaching out for help when you definitely need it, because that's what we're all here for, you know? So reaching out to your co-colleagues or it's probably, like I said, the best resource possible. Talking to people who have been through it before, doing your research early, but definitely not giving up is the best piece of advice.
I love that. I think that's true. It's a good way. Like, there are so many things. There might be, you might hear stats that you're not going to be good enough. You get in your head,
absolutely,
is my score high enough? Do I have enough USCE? Like, lead with why you're doing this and just don't give up. And eventually you're going to get through it. It just, you're going to have to maybe fight for it a little bit.
Exactly. It might be a little bit tougher, you know, for you than the next person that went to a US med school, but it's not impossible. And I feel like that was something else that I realized is that so many people have done this before us that it's not out of our reach. I know a lot of people who matched into surgery, anesthesia, you know, all these competitive specialties, interventional radiology, you know, so it's definitely not impossible. Like, no matter what the specialty you want to go for, just go for it. Don't question yourself. Even though we all have self-doubt, it's healthy to have a sense of self-doubt, because it never goes away. And that's something else that I've learned. It just, it doesn't matter how high your scores are, how much experience you have, you're going to have a sense of self-doubt, and that's okay. It's okay to feel that way, but just don't stop.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was so much fun talking with you, and I'm sure that we'll collab more in the future. As always, you guys are welcome to reach out to us if you have any questions. If you are unsure or you're starting this process and you don't know where to start, please let us know. And I'm sure that Dr. Lisa feels the same way. You can reach out to her and she'll respond to your DMs. We will include her handle in the description. And everybody have a great day.